पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्तोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालम् अङ्गुं लङ्गयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். So, today we will have a summary of the fourth chapter, and if time permits, I will also introduce what is to come in the rest of the chapters. So, in the fourth chapter, there were three broad portions that was covered. The first one was Ishvara Avatara, incarnation of the Lord. The second one was Jnana Karma Sannyasaha, the central portion of this chapter, as well as a very, very important part of the Gita. And then the third one was Jnana Sadhana Palani, means and benefits of gaining self-knowledge. In the first portion on Ishvara Avatara, we saw Krishna was showing us the difference between Ishvara Avatara and Jiva Janma. Both of them superficially seem to have a date of birth, a set of parents, etc. Right? If you take, say, Rama, Krishna, both have a date of birth. They do have parents. So you assume that, okay, they also have a Janma, which is very similar to that of Jiva. Right? But we should know that there are differences between Ishvara Avatara and Jiva Janma. First of all, we refer to Ishvara's birth or Ishvara's life as Ishvara Avatara. Right? First thing is, the difference between the two is in terms of three different aspects. You can broadly classify them as even three or four. But the first one is Karanam, right? Then the Swarupam itself, and then Uddeshyam, that is the cause of the Ishvara Avatara and Jiva Janma, the nature, and then the purpose of the avatara. Right? So now, Jiva's Janma is caused by ignorance. Right? So what happens? Due to ignorance, there is a ego, right? Ahankara, the association with Ahankara, because the Jiva does not associate itself with the higher nature, which is Atma, right? So Jiva is associated with ignorance, and due to ignorance, ego, and because of the ego, there is Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam, that is, I am a Karta, I am a Bhokta, and therefore he acquires Punya Papam. He or she is forced to take a body. So for the Jiva Janma, it is actually a fall, right? Because he is helpless, and ajnanam or ignorance is the cause of Janma. Whereas for the Lord, he is sarvajnaha, and God descends down to uplift the human being, like a person who goes into a well to rescue a person who is fallen. Right? That is why we use the word avatara. In Sanskrit, avatarati means coming down to help the jiva. Right? So by coming down, he goes through a lot of problems in the avatara, like that of a human being. Rama avatara, Krishna avatara, right? So, and therefore, not only is Ishvara sarvajnya, he is also coming down and taking a janma, which is called an avatara, because of compassion, right? Karuna is also a karana, right? So that is the first difference between Jiva's birth and Ishvara's avatara, right? Then when it comes to nature, right? Second is the Swarupam or nature. Since Jiva comes down because of ignorance, Jiva is Baddha or bound, right? Jiva suffers because of self-ignorance, and for Ishvara, it is a sport or game. Rama is never going to complain about his avatara, right? Krishna does not complain at all. In fact, smilingly, he keeps on killing Asura after Asura, bad people after bad people, right? So, he is Mukta Swarupa. And plus, of course, the body itself in the case of jiva is made out of panchabhuta, panchabhautikam, right? Maya produces the five elements and jiva shariram is formed out of the bhautikam, bhautika shariram it is called. In Ishwara's case, there is direct conversion of maya into Ishwara avatara and there is no time gap, right? For instance, between Prahalada praying and Narasimha appearing, there is no time gap, right? Because it is maika shariram. So, bhautika shariram and maika shariram, right? So, that is the difference in terms of the nature and raw material, right? So, jiva is alpagnyaha, Ishwara is sarvagnyaha. Then at the level of purpose, right? Jiva is born to exhaust the punya papa, the prarabdha, right? And punya papa can be exhausted only through sukha dukkha experience. Papam and punyam can be exhausted and only through shariram sukha dukkham can be experienced, right? And in sushupti we don't have a body, so we don't interact and therefore we don't exhaust our punya papa. Sushupti means in deep sleep. In dream we do exhaust punya papa through experiencing various nightmares or a beautiful trip, etc. Right? And in our waking state, we also acquire fresh punya papam also, right? And even in animal birth, there is no punya papa acquisition, only exhaustion happens, right? So Ishwara avatara is not for punya papa kshayam, whereas Ishwara is beyond punyam and papam, right? But what is the purpose of the avatara, right? So we saw yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, right? So Ishwara is responsible for the arrival of this creation, maintenance of the creation, shrishti sthiti karta. He has to do whatever is required to maintain the creation and also to administer the karma, the papa punya of the jivas, right? So normally he does not interfere in the functioning of the creation. He is only there as the adhyaksha or the administrator, right? So he has given a manual also in the form of shastra, the dharmic way of life. So it is just common sense to follow the scriptures, the manual given by the God, and there is no problem if we, as long as everything is as per the scriptures and we follow. But sometimes what happens, dharma starts failing, right? So then there are two different methods. Like for instance, the doctor sometimes will have to remove a part, a gallbladder or an appendix, right? So in which case God descends to remove that part and so that he can restore the creation back to its normalcy, right? Sometimes he is also coming down to educate the humanity and remind them of the beautiful teaching and reminds us about our responsibility. So in Ramavatara, Krishnavatara, he also taught us by living, right? Very important. So this is a very important shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Where interestingly, in fact, I didn't know this until I referred, there is a portion where Shuka is narrating and he says, Hanuman spoke thus, right? This verse is like Hanuman speaking, right? So Anjaneya speaking, Martya avataras sihamartya shikshanam raksho vadayaiva na kevalam vibho kutonyatha syadramatasva atmanah sita kritani vyasanani ishvarasya. So incarnated as a human being, he was not only there as the almighty one to kill the demon Ravana, but also as the one instructing the mortals of this material world. What other reason would there have been for all the miseries of Sita being separated from him, right, the Supreme Lord, but to offer an opportunity to serve the one satisfied within. Basically, he is of the higher nature, he is a realized soul, but why is he going through the sufferings like a human being? Only because there is a purpose, right? So this is actually in the words of Hanuman. Hanuman is actually saying this and Sri Shuka actually narrates this in Bhagavatam. right? So just like in Ramavatara, we had Rama living a life like that. In Krishnavatara also, Krishna had a purpose. And here in the battlefield, in this fourth chapter, if you remember, he said that I have been teaching this wisdom from ages, and I am here to teach you, my friend, right? Saevayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanah bhaktosmi me sakacheti rahasyam heta duttamam, right? So we saw this, and he said, I decided to revive the Vedic teaching and revival of dharma both by teaching and destroying the adharmic people. That is the purpose of an avatara, right? So, and that is what was said here. And Krishna said that I taught this in the beginning of the creation as Krishna, and now I am educating, I taught in the beginning of the creation to Vaivasvata, you remember that, and now as Krishna I am teaching you through Krishna Shariram. Then we saw in the ninth verse, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. So whoever knows the Lord completely, that person will get freedom, right? And what does it mean, know the Lord completely? That means you know the higher nature of the Lord and the cause of Ishvara avatara. So the emphasis is to know the higher nature as well as the lower nature, and the higher nature of the Lord is not subject to birth and death, right? In fact, in Purusha Suktam, right, the Upanishad says, the Lord, Purusha Suktam is part of the Upanishad. Upanishad says, Lord is born without being born, right? How do we reconcile this in this, right? Ajayamano bahuda vijayate, right? So how to reconcile this? I will be born without being born from Chaitanya Swarupa Drishtya, right? From the Chaitanya angle, I am not born because I am the consciousness, I am ever there. But otherwise, as a avatara, I do take births and also have a death, right? So from the standpoint of the body, even Ishvara is subject to birth and death, but not Krishna Paramatma, right? And then we saw in the sixth verse, the difference in the raw material part. Ajo pisan vivayatma bhutana mishwaro pisan prakritim swamadishchaya sambhavamyatma mayaya, right? In the sixth verse, he says, though I am birthless and deathless, though I am the Lord of beings, I take birth through my own maya by restoring to my prakriti, right? Hey Arjuna, I am never born, right? And one who knows the birthless higher nature of Lord, referred to as para prakriti in the seventh chapter, right? That's a specific term used, right? And one who knows this will be liberated. We saw this also. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham, right? And this is the cause of the avatara. Why is Bhagavan taking birth, right? O Arjuna, whenever there is a decline of dharma and increase of adharma, then indeed I manifest myself, right? So, no other chapter of the Gita avatara is discussed. I think I told you this is the only place, and this is a very, very important verse, and that is why this verse is repeated in Vishnu Sahasranama, right? And you may recall that we used to have a TV serial called Mahabharata. There also the opening verse was this, because it is such an important verse. Yada yada hi dharmasya. Right? And the other verse which is equally important and forms part of daily prayer in everybody's houses. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. This is the purpose part addressed here. For the protection of the righteous ones, for the destruction of the unrighteous ones, and for the establishment of dharma, I take birth in every age, right? So then we came to the second portion of the chapter. In this second portion, the central theme of the entire Gita is covered between verses 16 and 24. What is that? Jnana Karma Sannyasa, right? So, in this portion, Krishna wants to point out that there are two types of renunciation, okay? Very important. One is external. External means you wear the orange color dress and then you actually don't give up on relatives, parents, family, possession, property, everything, and you take to a monastic way of life. And the other one is internal sannyasa, right? Now, in the external sannyasa itself, there are two different types of sannyasa, vidvat sannyasa and vividisha sannyasa, okay? So, in the vidvat sannyasa, right, it is a sannyasa which is taken after shravanam mananam and the person is a jnani. So, he wants to take sannyasa for nididhyasanam. So, such a sannyasi is vidvat sannyasi, right? Whereas a vividisha sannyasi is a person who takes to sannyasa in order to pursue shravanam mananam and nididhyasanam. I understand from Swamiji that Swami Dayananda Saraswati used to always recommend the vidvat way than the vividisha way, because vividisha is a one-way path. You cannot come back. So, if you have not done shravanam mananam and you do not know, then whether you will like that life and whether you can, you know, continue on that for your entire life, it is better to remain a brahmachari, do the shravanam mananam, and then apparently he used to suggest, if you want to get married, don't worry, we will find somebody. Even after the course, he used to encourage, saying that be clear about your path. So, vividisha sannyasa, there is a provision for somebody who is very sure, saying that I will take to a monastic way of life and then do shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, right? Now, why I spent this time here is, this is very important to know, because again Arjuna is going to raise a doubt only because he is confused now between vidvat sannyasa and vividisha sannyasa, right? So this is the popular renunciation is, of course, a person will quit the society and become a sannyasi and will give up all his duties, the external sannyasa, right? But there is a second type that has got nothing to do with external personality. This is purely internal, right? Like the lotus leaf, water on the lotus leaf, right? So they don't get stuck. So how to accomplish that? We have to switch or change our understanding about ourselves, right? As body, karma association cannot be avoided. As mind, it cannot be avoided. Body and mind are related to the world, therefore your external interactions will be there. But you have to discover the higher I, Atma Tattvam, which is Asangaha, like Akasha. It is associated with everything but not polluted by anything. So, I am not the mind, body, right? Body-mind is part of creation. Let the interactions continue. Like an actor crying when required, producing tears. He chooses to identify with the role, but while crying, he knows he is playing a role. And in the green room, he is different from all the roles that he is playing. Right? So, Vedanta, Vichara, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all of them help me to detach from these roles, right? And the term Lord Krishna gave was Jnana Karma Sannyasa. And in fact, I was explaining Karmanam Sannyasa for those of the Sanskrit students who understand it's Shashti Tat Purusha. And then Jnanena Karma Sannyasa, which is Tritiya Tat Purusha. So, renunciation of action through knowledge without physically stopping the action, right? You know you have to sell house, you have to bring up your children, you have to build a house, you have to get your children married, all of that. You do all that, but at the same time, you know you have a higher nature. Associate yourself with a higher nature. That is Jnana Karma Sannyasa or internal renunciation. This was talked about at length in between 16 and 24th verses, right? So, all the verses in this section are very, very beautiful and important, and the characteristics of the person with self-knowledge was also covered here. So, यस्य सर्वे समारंभाः कामसंकल्प वर्जिताः ज्ञानाग्नि दग्ध कर्माणं तमाहु पंडितं बुधा. सो ही हूज एक्शंस आर ऑल फ्री फ्रॉम डिजायर्स एंड फैंसीज एंड हूज एक्शंस आर बर्न्ट बाय द फायर ऑफ नॉलेज सेजेस कॉल हिम वाइज, राइट. सो वॉट ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन इट ब्रिंग्स अबाउट इज इंटरैक्शंस आर ऑब्जेक्टिवली सीन and consequences are also seen objectively, and the biggest advantage is it removes reactions to situations. And what Pujya Swamiji always talks about is responding to situations rather than reacting, right. So he will see the difference between success and failure, he will see that, but the impact will be reduced. So jnanam serves to reduce the impact of life situations, right. And I have the flexibility to recover quickly and continue to live my life, right. So, and even though he is fully involved in action, right. So, tyaktva karma phala sangam nitya tripto nirashrayah karmanyabhi pravittopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. Even though he is fully involved in action, surprising thing is, you will see that he is completely relaxed. So you will wonder if he is really involved, right. So you can actually see that when a train is about to leave the platform, right, and you have come to see off somebody and that person is sitting safely inside and there is somebody else who is running to come and get into the train, your mindset is that of a sthita prajna, because your person is already inside the train. There is somebody else who is running and getting into the train, right. So you are not affected, right. But if you are in the other person's shoes and if you can still not get affected, that is the difference, right. So one more important point while describing this jnani Krishna talks about was, he talked about karmanyabhi pravuttopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. So even when he is deeply involved, right, in the work, whether it is a householder jnani or a sannyasi jnani, he is very much engaged in action, but he never performs also. Naiva kinchit karoti. Basically, he is able to do the action, but realizing the higher nature, right? The detachment is there in the work that he does, right? Then we saw this very, very famous verse, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadina, right. This was the very important verse on which I spent a lot of time, right. It's a description of a householder's jnana and it is the most important verse of the Gita, a description of Grihastha Jnani, right. So from this we come to know that the liberation is not dependent on the ashrama but your wisdom. So in sannyasa ashram it is very difficult without jnanam, but in grihastha ashram you can manage, right. So if a person takes sannyasa, if he is a jnani already, no problem, like that of vidvat sannyasi. Otherwise it is definitely a difficulty, right. So with jnanam, that way if you see, every ashrama is wonderful, whether it is sannyasa ashrama or grihastha ashrama, right. Inner renunciation through knowledge. So this was a very important verse that we saw. Then the third portion from verses 26 to 42, right. You remember we did the 12 yajnas in great detail, right. Jnana sadhana phalani, and to attain this knowledge there are a lot of sahakari sadhanani or supportive sadhanas, and 12 yajnas were talked about. Of course, Atmanivedana Yajna was the first one talked about, but if you see, the supporting Yajnas are from 2 to 12, right? Deva Yajna onwards. So Deva Yajna in verse 25, praying, performing rituals to God. Vishaya Bhoga Yajna, converting all your interactions into worship. Whatever you give, treat as offering. Whatever you take as prasada, or offering to the Lord within you, right. So sense objects, whatever you experience, take it as offering, right. And you offer, take the sense organs as God, sense objects that you experience as offerings. You can treat it that way also. Indriya Nigraha Yajnaha is sensory discipline. Mastery over your sense organs, right? Atma Samyama Yajnaha is nothing but Mano Nigraha Yajnaha or Shamaha, mental discipline. Mind should become an equipment that we can control, right? Not like that of a Alsatian dog and its master, where the Alsatian dog seems to be pulling the master. So our mind should not be pulling us. We should be able to control the mind. In fact, this one has been beautifully explained through the chariot example in Kathopanishad, which we saw in the earlier chapter, right? So this is Atma Sanyama Yajnaha. Then Dravya Yajnaha is Danam or charity. Tapo Yajnaha is moderation in everything, right? Any indulgence is a weakness, right? And Yoga Yajnaha, right? Practicing Yogasana. Swadhyaya Yajnaha is Parayanam of the scriptures in any language with or without knowledge of meanings, right? And Jnana Yajnaha is of two types, right? One is spiritual knowledge, self-knowledge, and whatever other disciplines you need to learn, right? The shastras, like the language, Mimamsa, logical thinking, right? It's called, referred to as Aparavidya, auxiliary sciences called Veda Angani, right? That is what is referred here by Jnana Yajnaha. Then Pranayamaha, right? We saw about how you can do Pranayama. And in fact, somebody had asked me if I could show them a pointer to Pranayamaha. And surprisingly, the same week, Narendra Modi ji tweeted Pranayamaha, exactly the way Gita speaks about. So there is a very nice animated video of Pranayama, which is just a 2-minute clipping. You can check on Modi's tweets and you should be able to get it. It is exactly the same week that I talked about Pranayama, this has come out. Very useful and very nicely demonstrated, right? So you can see that. And then Ahara Niyamaha, which is in verse 30, discipline in eating. This is good for body also. We will be fit in addition to controlling our mind, etc., right? And also we will be studying a lot more in 6th and 17th chapter about Satvika, Rajasa and Tamasa Ahara, right? Then after this, he talked about the importance of Guru. You remember, Krishna spoke about the importance of Guru, an initiating Guru, inspiring Guru, teaching Guru, etc. But what we need is a teaching Guru, because we need to understand and clarify, right? And without a teaching Guru who can clarify our doubts, it's very difficult to read the Shastra on our own and understand. Many people tell that they just read books, right? With that Shankaracharya's commentary. Even if you know Sanskritam, even if you have a very good translation, without a guru, it is very, very difficult, because when you have doubts, you need to get them cleared if you have to proceed on this journey. So, tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanina sattvadarshinaha. This is very often quoted, right? So you need to have a spiritual guide and you revere him, do seva, and this is also very, very important. Later he speaks of two more. Shraddha is also important, right? So may you gain that knowledge by prostration, by service and by proper inquiry. The wise sages will impart that knowledge to you.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatparas sanyatendriyah jnanam labdva param shantim achirena adigacchati.
It's a very, very important verse in 39 we saw. May you have faith in the words of the scriptures and guru. If you're not able to swallow any of the statements, or it appears as superstition or blind faith, right? Sometimes it appears illogical. You can certainly ask questions, but never reject the scriptures and the acharya. Because if I reject, the acharya and the shastras have nothing to lose. I only lose something, which is a wonderful teaching, which is free and available to all of us. So, Finally, Krishna emphasized commitment, right? Be sincere. Half-hearted attempt will not help, right? Sincere attempt and commitment is required, and in following what you are convinced, and I should have the courage to follow openly. You should not have to feel bad in front of neighbors, colleagues, office, etc. to say that I have class on such and such a day, I have to go. It's your conviction. You believe in this and therefore you attend. So with conviction, you need to follow this path, right? Very, very important. So the main sadhana is Jnana Yajna, pursuit of scriptural study, right? Knowledge alone can remove ignorance. All the others can only support this, but what removes ignorance is knowledge. Now all the sadhanas that we spoke about, all the 11 sadhanas help you develop Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement. They all have their roles, but they cannot remove the ignorance. So that jnanam can come only through scriptural inquiry. And you can never replace the mirror, right? If you want to see your face, right? And the reflecting surface, mirror or reflecting surface. So I need Shastra Darpana to see my real self. So Shastram is the mirror for me to see my real self. Shreyan Dravyam Yadagnya Jnana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Kilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate. This was 33rd verse. And the Jnana, right? Jnana is the proximate means of liberation. For all other Yajnas, there are substitutes. All the 11 Yajnas, you have substitutes. Some of them are optional, right? Charity, pranayama, etc. You can practice a few. Right? Suppose you are not in a position to do charity. You can do something else, right? So, but there is no option for Jnana Yoga, right? Exactly like entering the prakara of the temple through multiple gates. You can enter through any of the 11, you can enter. But the sanctum sanctorum, there is only one gate. To the garbhagraham, there is only one gate, which is Jnana Yoga, right? And Krishna mentioned Phalam, four types of benefits, if you remember. Moha Nivrittihi, right? What happens with Jnanam is, I am not worried about the future. Knowledge gives us a courage to face the future. I take into account of all the known and unknown factors and jump into a decision. Once I make a decision, I am confident. I can face risk and unpredictability. That is Moha Nivrittihi. Right? Then Sarva Papa Nivrittihi. Right? Papa Nashaha. All papas belonging to past Janmas and now all the Sanchita Karmas and Agami Karmas. Agami Karmas are avoided because there is no Kartrutvam and Mokshutvam. But all the other Sanchita Karmas of the past Janmas get destroyed and the Prarabdha Karmas will continue to impact, but they are like, they are defanged. Like the cobra doesn't have fangs. How it will be. So prarabdha karma will continue till it is exhausted in a similar fashion. And the next one is karma nivrittihi. And I think I explained to you the difference between papa nasha and karma nivrittihi. In karma nivrittihi, the punyam is also included. Because punyam is like golden shackle, right? So punya karmas also cause punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam. Therefore, this talks about punyam also getting removed. Karma nivrittihi. And then Veda nivrittihi. Right? This is a technical one, which is Aikya Jnanam. Essential oneness of Jiva and Ishvara. Like the wave understands essence of me, the wave, and essence of ocean are essentially the same water. Ocean may be a big wave. I may be small at Nama Rupa level. Right? I and God are one. Aham Brahmasmi is the benefit, right? So, I hope you are very clear about the course of action, Arjuna. You have to follow Karma Yoga first, purify the mind and then gain Jnanam through Jnana Yoga, right? Now, this is actually in brief the fourth chapter what we covered, right? Now we are going to be entering the fifth chapter. Now in the fifth chapter, what is going to happen is Arjuna is again going to have a doubt, right? The reason why he gets this doubt is because he is wanting to take sannyasa. Actually, if you see, Krishna has spoken about Vidvat Sannyasa in fourth chapter, right? He has spoken about Vidvat Sannyasa and he has spoken about Jnanakarma Sannyasa, which is the internal sannyasa. He has not spoken about Vividisha Sannyasa at all. That's why I had to explain to you. But Arjuna is looking for an option to get out of this, right? So, with Vividisha Sannyasa in his mind, he is actually asking this question, saying that Nishchitam me shunu, again, tell me clearly whether I should follow this or that, to Krishna. And Krishna is very patient. Now, interestingly, I was reading the Bhashyam and I thought it's important to speak to you about it in case you are interested. Apparently, Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam, right, when he is writing, he is saying, is this question of Arjuna legitimate or not? Okay. Always in Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, there will be a Purva Pakshi and a Siddhanta. A Purva Pakshi is an opponent. So any question that anybody will ask in the future, Shankaracharya himself will ask and close out and clarify. So the opponent asks, saying that you can tell whatever you want. Arjuna is not justified in asking this question. He should not have asked and Krishna should not have answered. Okay, that is his, the opponent's view. So then Shankaracharya has a very difficult job, right? Because he has to make sure the guru is not in a position where he is answering something which is unnecessary, right? And Gita's teaching has to be protected, has to be presented the right way. Then Shankaracharya comes up with this explanation saying that Arjuna has misunderstood that Krishna has actually spoken or recommended Vividisha Sannyasa. Whereas in reality, Krishna has spoken about Vidvat Sannyasa, right? So very beautifully Shankaracharya does a elaborate introduction for the fifth chapter beginning, the commentary. So since I thought that I may get a few minutes today, I thought let me speak to you about what Shankaracharya's Bhashyam says. And very nice way of commenting on the, you know, the Gita verses, because otherwise we will never come to know or even think of these angles. We will just think that, you know, Krishna is repeating in every chapter and move on, right? So the fifth chapter actually brings in slightly different dimensions and explains this very elaborately. So I also thought that I will use this opportunity to actually take a look at where we are and what more we have to do, right? And interestingly, in Vichara Sagaram class that Swamiji is doing yesterday, he gave a quoted a nyaya called Simha Avalokana. Avalokana Nyaya. Basically, I believe a lion is the king of the jungle, right? So, the lion walks and then stops and makes an assessment. This side, that side. And then feels comfortable and then moves. So, it is used in situations where you take a pause, look at where you have come and then what more you have to do. So yesterday in Vichara Sagaram, he happened to quote this Nyaya. So I thought, why not say, I had already prepared this slide. So I thought, okay, let me tell you that there is a Nyaya like this. And therefore, I thought we should take a quick look at where we are. We actually started this session, the whole teaching from Introduction to Vedanta. We did 11 sessions of those because it was very useful to sort of clarify all the nomenclatures that would be used in this scriptural study. That was the first thing we did. Then we did chapter 1, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, right? It is Arjuna's grief mainly, right? What is the context and how he comes up with his conflict? A man who was very, very clear about what he wanted to do. Recently, I was reading Kirathajaniyam in another, you know, text, which is prior to all the Gita, Mahabharata, war and all. So in that situation, Indra is tempting Arjuna to go and do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and actually go after moksha. And he is so strong and he says, I'm a Kshatriya, I have so much of work to do, etc. and tells Indra. And I can't believe that in this chapter, it's totally reversed. Arjuna Vishada Yoga was that, right? Then the second one was Sankhya Yoga. So in the beginning of the second chapter, we saw the turning point of Arjuna, right? So Arjuna analyzes the situation further and then it leads to two important discoveries. First was his weakness of attachment, right? Which is a fundamental problem. He discovered that. And then he surrendered completely to the Guru to get out of the fundamental problem. Shadi Maam Prapacha. He actually surrenders and tells Krishna, please accept me as your student, right? Very, very important verse. Then Krishna did a full, complete summary of the Shastra. He did Jnana Yoga. He started with Jnana Yoga. He talked about the features of Atma. Then he talked about Karma Yoga. And if you remember, he also spoke about Stita Prajna Lakshanani. Who is a Stita Prajna? Arjuna asked that question. And then Krishna actually talked about how a Stita Prajna will be. He also talked about, gave an example of a tortoise where tortoise pulls all the sense organs inside. Such a Stita Prajna is also of that kind. So many elaborately he discussed, right? A very long chapter also. Then the third chapter was dedicated completely to Karma Yoga. So at the end of the third chapter, naturally, Arjuna had this doubt saying, what is this? Which is better, Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga? That's how it started. Now in the fifth chapter, I just gave you the introduction. So again, the question is going to be whether Sannyasa is better or Karma Yoga. What should I do? Nishchitam me shrunu. Tell me very clearly, right? So that is how it's going to start. That is the fifth chapter. The sixth chapter, right? So this is where we are. So the sixth chapter, right? We are going to actually be looking at dhyana or meditation, right? There are going to be antaranga sadhanani and bahiranga sadhanani. We are going to see in detail in the sixth chapter, right? Now, the first six chapters of the Gita, Lord Krishna discusses the nature of the individual, right? That's why I put it in light blue color. Then the next six chapters discusses nature of Ishvara. And the last six actually discusses the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. So, the famous Mahavakyam, Tat Tvam Asi. Tatpada Vichara is the first six chapters. Tvampada Vichara is next six chapters. And Asi Pada Vichara is the last six chapters. That's how it is beautifully organized, right? So, in the seventh chapter, we are going to be seeing the nature of the individual, right? And it's going to be nature of Ishvara. We are going to see para and apara prakriti, the higher nature and the lower nature of God. We are going to see that in the seventh chapter. Having completed the section on individual, directly in seventh chapter, Krishna will start with para and apara prakriti, right? And that is going to be very, very interesting. We'll talk about all the subtle elements, the cosmic ego, the cosmic intellect and all of that. Very interesting. Then the eighth chapter, right, termed Akshara Brahma Yoga, is going to define certain important terms which are Jnana Yoga based. And there is a very important verse there which is about the significance and method of remembering the Lord at the time of death. So it's a very important verse that comes there saying that if you remember me even in the last Kshanam, then I assure you of the following, right? So, this eighth chapter, generally people recite when somebody is in the deathbed or is about to pass away or, you know, has just passed away. So, people do chant Gita eighth chapter, right? Then the ninth chapter is Rajavidya, Rajaguhya Yoga, right? And this talks in detail about Sakama Bhakta and Nishkama Bhaktas, right? And then the 10th chapter is the glory of the Lord, Vibhuti Yoga. Fully about the glories of the Lord. Very beautiful chapter. Talks about all the best of the world is me. Right? It's very, very, very nice chapter. And 11th one is the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. Arjuna appreciates all what Krishna has said starting from 7th chapter about the higher nature. Right? So, he is requesting God to come up as the Sarva Vishwarupa Ishwara, and he is actually able to see that, and he gets also scared from astonishment and bewilderment. He becomes scared. Then he requests Krishna to go back to the original form. Right? That is chapter 11. And chapter 12 is Bhakti Yoga. The various stages of Bhakti will be discussed. Right? Prasada Buddhi, Ishwararpana Buddhi, Ishtadevata Upasana, Virat Upasana, right? Akshara Upasana, that is Brahma, Brahman Upasana, etc. Right? So that is Bhakti Yoga. And that is why I said Bhakti Yoga is underlying yoga across Karma, Upasana and Jnana Yoga. Because all the kinds of Bhaktis will be covered there. Right? Then 13 is Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. Right? 13 to 15, all three are self-knowledge based chapters. Right? So the main, again, different types of introductions will come. So Kshetram and Kshetrajna come in 13. 14th chapter, there is analysis of the Trigunas. Sattva, Rajas and Tamasic Gunas. And then 15, Aikyam will be discussed. Very, very subtle topic, Purushottama Yoga. And then 16th chapter is Daiva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga. This is the Daivi Sampat and Asuri Sampat. What are all the good values and what are all the bad habits that you have to avoid for a spiritual journey mainly, right? Those values have to be inculcated and it's a long journey, right? And the 17th one again talks about Trigunas, but it specifically talks about Sattvika, Rajasika, Tamasika food, then Yajna, then Tapas, right? And then charity also in all three types, right? And then the 18th chapter is again a summary of the entire teaching, right? So that also will cover Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc. And finally, we will see that Krishna will leave it to Arjuna to take the decision. And then Arjuna takes a decision with a clear mind and is ready to fight the war, right? So I just thought I will quickly tell you where we are and what is to come so that you get the big picture, right? So, Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, any questions? Let me just see if there are any hands up symbols here. Yeah, there's some questions here. The Gita is separated in some sources into three sections. What is the logic and basis for this? I did cover even your, even you have the color coded, correct. I explained that. And what is the Ashtavakra Gita focused on and the difference from Bhagavad Gita? There are different types of Gita. This not Bhagavad Gita is not the only Gita. You have Rama Gita, you have Jayanteya Gita, you have Uddhava Gita, you have Ashtavakra Gita. Basically, Gita is a dialogue connecting, talking about the, the spiritual knowledge between any two people in the Puranas or the Itihasas. So, Ashtavakra Gita is a dialogue between Ashtavakra and Janaka. And what I understand is, because I've still not gone through the Ashtavakra Gita, it's supposed to be a slightly advanced text. Again, it falls under an advanced text category because it covers Jnana Yoga alone in detail. That's what I understand, right? So, because I haven't studied the Ashtavakra Gita yet. Any other questions? There's nobody who has a hands up symbol here. Any questions here? Questions? No?
Yeah. So knowledge is going to destroy all the both the behavior. That knowledge in planetary attained by action. Sometimes the knowledge is by reading the scriptures, which exactly is knowledge is the combination of the action, your reaction, or the knowledge.
Okay. The question is, in some places it's written knowledge is the result of action, and in some places it is written knowledge is acquired through studying or reading or something, scriptures. Okay, the answer is very simple. It's exactly like this Pooja Swamiji uses this example. If you have to learn calculus, you have to learn years of algebra, mathematics, multiplication, etc., and then move to the actual calculus, right? Similarly, for knowledge, to remove self-ignorance, there are two aspects. One is, since it is a very, very subtle knowledge, the mind has to be extremely refined. In order to get the mind refined, you need to be doing Panchamahayajna or Karma Yoga, right? Once the mind is refined, the same Gita will appeal more. That is why when you go through the second round and third round, it gets... So therefore, one is for Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement, and Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam are for Jnanam or knowledge. Right? So that is how it is interpreted. Anybody else has any questions? No, I think there are no hands up symbol here. And I also answered the questions in the table. Okay. So today we are completing a couple of minutes earlier, but that's fine. So next class we will start with the fifth chapter next Sunday, same time. Dhanyavadaha. Namaste.